You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Fix It and Flip It. The current real estate market is ripe for rehabbing. If you want to learn how to buy the right property at the right price and learn how to project and control costs, then you've come to the right place. Our host, Tony Raffin, is from the number one REMAX team in southeastern Michigan. And Kevin McClellan is Mr. Flipper Extraordinaire. Now, let's welcome Tony and Kevin. This is Fix It and Flip It.
Yay! We're minus Kevin today. Kevin's on vacation up in Houghton Lake having some fun with his family 4 days, which he's probably going through withdrawals from work because he's such a workaholic. But today I figured I'd bring my son into the studio today. Alex,
what's going on, Alex?
And we've got a special guest coming to us from California, Southern California, Bob Hellman, who is the owner of Casabella escrow services, which they do things a little bit different with escrow and title services in California than they do in Michigan. And he's also a big investor. Bobby, are you there?
I am here.
My man. Thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, anytime, my friend.
Well, before we get started, I want to give a little quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Audible. And I don't know if anybody's heard Audible, but they are absolutely the largest provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet today. If you'd like to get a free trial from Audible, you can go to www.audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500, and you'll get a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. So go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. And we don't cover any of your texting fees just in case. But I'm listening to an Audible book right now, and I'm not trying to get political here, but it's The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump. It's a pretty good book, actually. And I absorb more when I listen to something than when I read it, because sometimes I've got to read things 3 or 4 times. Bobby, I don't know about you, but how's your reading skills?
Oh, you know what? I actually have Audible. I prefer to listen to it because it helps fill the time in between appointments.
Hey, absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, listen. I wanted to give a little brief background on you. You and I had met. God, we've been friends for over 10 or 12 years now. We were both in the REO industry, which to the people that don't understand what REO means, it means real estate owned, and it's bank-owned properties or privately held properties that were seized or foreclosed upon or in distress. And that's how we met. And then you got out of that, and now you're in the escrow services business.
That's true. Absolutely.
Can you explain, like in Michigan, escrow and title is all in one. In California, how is it done? You have an escrow company, and then you have a title company. What's the difference?
Yeah, title companies out here can also do the escrow closings, but typically it's handled by an independent licensed company from the state that handles the closing part of the transaction. Title companies out here typically handle the just the title portion of it. So we have it. In essence, it's still an escrow company out there. It's just part of the title company. Out here, we just split it into two companies.
Is there a legal reason for that or no?
No, I think it's like most things in real estate, a lot of it has to do with tradition. You know, why do we charge 6% commission? Is there a rule? No, it's just tradition. And in California, Northern California is split. They typically up there just use title companies, and Southern California traditionally uses the independent. And more brokers are getting their own. We have a statute which allows a broker to open his own escrow company, but they can only close their personal transactions. So we have a multifaceted like everything in California, it's multifaceted.
You guys are on the cutting edge of
more complicated than need be.
Yeah, you guys are definitely always on the cutting edge of music, food, entertainment, real estate. And when we look for a slowdown, it usually starts in California and then sweeps across to the East Coast.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because we are actually just starting to see not a bubble out here, but I would say we're seeing more of a put the brakes on, slow down. It's not really a buyer's market now. It's not a seller's market now. It's just a market. And we're seeing that prices aren't coming down, but they're not going up. We're seeing longer days on market. That's a typical every 3 to 5 years that happens.
So what are we going to call that? A market correction?
What's that?
That we call that a market correction?
No, I don't call it a correction. A correction is where we've overpriced and we have to pull back. We're not seeing pullbacks or reductions. We're just seeing less volume closing. And so that isn't a correction. It's a slowdown, which is really important because if it doesn't slow down, a bubble creates and then a correction happens. And nobody wants to see a 10% reduction in prices. Well, maybe buyers do, but definitely not the sellers. But, you know, it's not healthy to have corrections. You should try to just slow it down a little bit. Think of it as a car. You don't want to have to slam on your brakes. You would rather just slow it down easy and then take it back off easy. Let's people catch up that are trying to get into their first home. Remember, all sales start from the first-time home buyer. So right. We need to get those people in to be able to move people up. And that's what's happening out in California right now. I'm sure the rest of the country is going to start experiencing that soon.
Are you guys getting a lot of, now that the values have been driven up substantially, would you guys say your values are now higher than when they originally were prior to the bubble?
You know, prior to the crash in 07, 08, I would say we're right at, in some areas we're above, some areas we haven't quite hit that again, but we're really close. I would say we're plus or minus 5% of what we were 10 years ago before the crash.
So could that be part of the sticking point where people are concerned that we're prior to crash values and we can't go higher? Or what do you anticipate values going higher than what they were pre-crash?
Absolutely. You just look at historical data. I mean, we're not paying the same amount as we did 20 years ago, 40 years ago. It's inflation is there. It's always there. There's always going to be an increase because that's just what people need in their lives. If you don't see an increase in people's value in their home, then it affects the entire economy. You know, you don't go out and buy a new boat if you think your wealth is being lost. And for the average person, their house is their wealth. And so having equity makes them feel comfortable to spend money. And I don't think we're seeing that right now where people aren't buying stuff. I think what a lot of people are doing is investing back into their home. They feel comfortable enough to, you know, add on, remodel, add additions, you name it. I think that you're seeing that portion. If you ask contractors out there, they're busier than they've ever been. So I think
it's hard. It's hard to find people that want to work, tell you the truth.
Well, you know, there's more jobs than there are people looking to work right now. So I know that I'm having a challenge in our business. I know that a lot of real estate brokers are having a hard time recruiting agents that want to work. And you know, I don't care what field you're in, you got to work.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's go on to talk about what we talk about on our show, which is fixing and flipping. And we just started talking about rehabbing homes and putting your money back into it. What's the rehab market like going on out there? And do you have any current rehabs that you're doing? Because I know I'm sure that your stuff is actually going up in value and very, very pricey rehabs. I mean, you're not going out and buying $100,000 and $200,000 rehab jobs. What do you got going right now?
You know, I have to tell you that my best percentage of profits are usually in the $200,000 to $300,000 home purchase price range. Those tend to have the least risk. They're easy to sell. But out here, you know, that's getting harder and harder to find. So it doesn't make our houses any better than in Detroit. It just makes them, they add a zero. That's about it. Yeah, I have a couple projects going on right now. Some good, some not so good. We have some pretty wacky eviction laws. So I happen to have bought a property at auction 14 months ago and just got the final eviction last 2 weeks ago, actually.
14 months later?
What's that?
14 months later?
14 months. You know, it was, I have to tell you, I've done 3,000 REO sales, and I've had to deal with a lot of sheriff lockouts, and I've never had to deal with one like this. It was really unique because it was a group home. It was seniors. It was senior veterans. So the courts gave them a lot of leeway. They had people steering them. I have to actually commend the property manager who was able to keep spinning this in court, but that's part of investing and fix and flipping. Don't get into it thinking, okay, I'm going to get this place back on the market and sold in 90 days. I typically always say, what if it takes me 12 months? What if the local municipalities or cities don't allow us to do the rehab or they slow us down? If you do that, you'll be okay.
Yeah, don't expect anything and you'll never be disappointed.
Yes, exactly. Hard not to expect it, but yeah.
Yeah, so what did you pay for this place?
Well, that property was in Long Beach, California, which is a desirable area. We paid $477 for it in auction. It had been expanded legally to be a four-bedroom, four-bath at the typical 1950s track, similar to yours out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the homes look about the same. They're all about 1,300 square feet. So we figured the value of it was about $650,000. When we got in there, we found out that they actually have made it seven bedrooms, seven baths with an apartment. So we're marketing it. We left it as is. We're marketing it as a group rehab home. And it seems to be getting a lot of activity on that. Ironically, the property manager that spun it for 14 months has a buyer. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, you can't get angry. You can't take it personal. You just got to take it and sell it to whomever will buy it.
But when you shell out $500,000 and you got to wait 12 months and you can't do anything and these people are living in your home, I mean, were they paying you rent at all?
Oh, hell no. Oh, no. I was paying a hard money loan of close to $5,000 a month for money. Yeah. Yeah. It hurts the bottom line, but there's still profit in this. We'll sell it for $650,000, so we'll end up making about $100,000 on that particular property. Well, worst case scenario, maybe $80,000. But you know, those are good deals. And then there's deals that sometimes the best deals. Some are ones that you just walked away from and didn't take. And I've had a number of those. So it's like in poker. Sometimes the best hand is the one you folded.
Yeah.
So we've had those.
Oh my gosh. So you got any more horror stories?
Oh, I've got more horror stories, like more than your podcast can imagine.
just give us one more.
You people out there in Michigan and know about the Flint water situation. And I had an investor that the pool of about 105 homes in Flint, the numbers penciled phenomenal. Came out there. I think, Tony, you and I, you were part of that. We visited all 105 homes, inspected every single one.
And I had the flu that day, those 2 days.
You were dead.
And I was laying in the back of the pickup truck, and we were driving around house to house, and that was a nightmare for me. But, boy, yeah, tell that story, because that's you talk about having everything ready to go and you're – I's dotted and your T's crossed, and you know you're just waiting for that paycheck. But they always say, wait till that check gets deposited and clears. I mean, that was a nightmare with that. With the water department?
Absolutely. Yeah, that entire situation was unfortunate. The gentleman that owned all the homes is a really good guy. He had put in tenants in all of the homes. They were all registered. They were. It penciled out to be about a 40% return per year. It was a phenomenal pool. I brought investors out from Colorado and from California. We spent 2 weeks just dialing it all in, and then the water situation happened, and it scared the investors off, and they left. Now, that particular deal would have scared them off, but now Flint probably has the best water district in the nation because the world came to their help.
Yeah.
Those are always temporary setbacks, but investors don't always see that. They walk away. They, you know.
Yeah, I think they want to ride the wave.
But you just walk away from.
Yeah, they want to ride. They want to ride a good wave instead of, you know, but you could have waited a little bit, even bought it because of that bad news, bought it for a lower number. And then as soon as everything was cleaned up, you would have ended up with a huge profit over there. You could have flipped the whole portfolio or sold them all off one at a time.
Yeah, I mean, that just happens. If you're going to get in that business of fix and flipping, you can't. Fixate on one deal or one transaction. You have to have multiple. If you're just a one and done kind of investor, it gets a little difficult because you're going to have hits and misses. I've made a lot of money on some properties, and I've lost a lot of money on some properties. But at the end of the year, when you do your taxes and you go, well, that was a net gain. That works out good. If you only pick one, you might as well go to Vegas and bet on black or red and go with that, because that's about the same odds.
Yeah. Amen.
So you've got to be a little bit more due diligent. Get yourself a good realtor that can really dial numbers for you. That's what I would say.
So knowing that you are a licensed realtor in the state of California, when you do buy flips in other areas, how do you do it? Because we had a gentleman on the radio or on the podcast a few weeks ago, Sean Whalen, and he was explaining on how he set up his different state type locations. But let's say you're buying something in an area that you're not even belong in. How do you do that? What's the advantage to you? Maybe even vacation properties that are close by, still not within, you know, maybe 2-3 hours away where you wouldn't go there every day. How does it work for you to do something like that in that type of an investment?
That's a great question. You know, it gets very difficult when you're already a licensed realtor to give up that transactional power and go someplace else. But I always do this. If you're a lawyer, do you represent yourself in court? If you're a doctor, do you operate on yourself? You just can't because you are too close. You have to recuse yourself. If I was in St. Clair Shores, I'd definitely call Tony Raffin from Reactor. That's just who I would call. And I did. In fact, I called you saying I had investors, and you were the one that located that Flint deal for us.
Right.
Amongst a couple of other deals. And
Saginaw, and so we had some deals in Saginaw. We had some deals on in Grand Rapids area. Yeah, we've sold 200-300 units out there. Actually, I got another package I'm working on right now close by here, 23 condos. Really nice package. It performs pretty well. But I like those package deals because it's, for me, it's a numbers thing. And if they're already up and running and they're working and the system's in place, it makes it easy for an out-of-state investor to come to the table and work it. So like with the Flint deal, everything was in place. The management company was in place. All you had to do was bring your own management company up here. They would have trained you to do what they're doing. You could run everything remotely from California, or as your investor was from Denver, who also had properties also in Florida, you could run them anywhere in the world with the internet today.
That's true. You find local professionals. You rely on them. That's what I do. We buy a lot in Colorado, Denver specifically, because they've had that. That has been a very good area. And when it rebounded, there's a lot of people moving into Colorado for a lot of the cannabis, legalization over the last 4 years. So the values have gone up. Days on market are negligible. I mean, we typically, while we're rehabbing, we'll put for sale signs. Heck, while I've been in escrow to buy a property, I put a for sale sign, and I'll have it sold before I even own it.
Oh, wow.
So those are great days. You can't plan on all of them all the time. But surely the cannabis wave through the nation, follow the wave. Watch how it did in Colorado, went to California, Washington. Those values have all spiked because of it. And as it grows throughout the nation, I believe Michigan is coming up on the ballot soon.
Yeah, we're coming up on the ballot in November. We've already got the green zones. So, the green zones are already mapped out, and the values of those properties are going high. We just actually sold one approximately 7 months ago down in the green belt, and it's a 3,000-square-foot building, block, no windows, so some glass block windows just for some sunlight. But it's surrounded by a 8-foot-tall fence with barbed wire around it. And inside, it's got everything ready to go. It's got the lights. It's got the air conditioning. It's got the water system, or the, what do you call it, the hydroponics. I don't know much about it, but we got over $350,000 for a block building that just happens to be in the right place.
Traditionally, we're seeing buildings that might value out at $1 million, and they're selling for $3 million if they're in a zone. We call it the cannabis tax. Everybody has their hands out in the cannabis tax. Just the other day, we were hit up by the Department of Fish and Game. They now have a tax for cannabis. And
wait a second. Wait.
Get a tax.
Are the fish and game smoking weed now?
No, they just say it's to study to see how it affects the environment. AQMD, which is in California, that's the Air Quality Management Division for smog.
Yeah.
They now knocked on the door saying, hey, we need a tax to help with the study of how this is affecting the air quality. I guess so many people are smoking, it's affecting the air quality. Or it's just a great way for government agencies to raise more capital. Money. And nobody complains about it. You know, they just go, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Well, eventually they're going to take down. Eventually they're going to take a little bit too much of the money away, and they're going to make it not worth it. But I can imagine Cheech and Chong are laughing their asses off right now.
How much is the tax?
Yeah. How much is the tax?
Well, the tax out here is 100%. So it's quite expensive.
Wow.
In fact, if you add everybody in, a product that might be a dollar will be taxed $1.25. So, you know, it's costing $2.25, and it's the only industry where it's taxed B2B, meaning that a grower sells to a distributor and he's taxed. And then the distributor to a manufacturer, a company that makes edibles, they're taxed. And then from there to a dispensary, they're taxed. And then to the consumer, they're taxed. The unfortunate thing is whenever there's taxes, it's passed on. So the consumer or the patient is the one that is going to feel the pain on it. And that's just, it's unfortunate.
So an item that costs a dollar.
With alcohol and tobacco.
So an item that costs a dollar could end up costing you $12. And there's basically half of that's going to be tax, and the other half is going to be profit for everybody down the line in the food chain.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Wow.
It's unfortunate, but you know, this is a fairly new industry, regulated industry. When I say fairly, you know, California's been somewhat medically legal since 1996, but we had no laws. It was just, you know, hey, this is for sick people, and that was kind of just left alone and done, you know, hodgepodge. There was no government regulations. So now that it did go legal, it has created, as you can imagine, a very large organization and department within the state to have to deal with. And, you know, state governments don't really do well trying to create new laws. They tend to not be very efficient. But you guys are going to probably realize that come November, I see that the numbers look in favor.
Yes.
I think it will bring a tremendous amount of wealth to the area. People concerned about crime, it's not going to increase crime. It hasn't, at least so far, in the 9 legal states. 30 plus states have some form of legal, whether it's recreational or medical. So as it relates to real estate, you know, it is going to be kind of like the dot-com era. So, you know, investors, if they're smart, they start looking at areas like Michigan for buildings, just like you said, where they could pick up a building, maybe it's not in the zone yet, but that city is already talking about it. So you take a little bit of risk and you buy some buildings, but the reward is 200% profit. I mean, those are, and the beauty of those is they do not need any fix and flipping. They just, you buy the building, kind of land bank it, and as soon as that goes, boom, the values of those properties will shoot way up. So look for those municipalities that are already talking about doing it. They've already put their guidance in place. Like you said, the ones that already have green zones, let your investors come in and take a little bit of risk. They'll be hugely rewarded.
So that's a good speculation right now.
So it is an economic boom. Yeah, you can't miss it. And it follows from state to state. I know investors that's all they do is they go from one state to the next state. As it opens up, they just follow the states and they reach out.
Where do you see this when it's all done? Where do you see? Do you see the big players coming to the table? Philip Morris, Laura Lard, all the, you know, R.J. Reynolds, you see them coming in and taking over from cigarettes to marijuana?
I could see it. There's going to be a little bit more challenge for alcohol and tobacco companies because they have, in their laws, they have anti-monopoly type rulings, meaning you don't see R.J. Reynolds owning Seagram's. They typically aren't allowed to cross-pollinate, so to speak. Stay in your lane. But I do see big money coming in, hedge fund money, and companies that you wouldn't expect, Coca-Cola, Caterpillar, you know, companies like that. And let me give you a great example. Have you guys ever heard of Scotts Miracle-Gro?
Yeah, the fertilizer company.
Scotts Miracle-Gro has quietly, over the last 5 years, bought up every cannabis fertilizing company that pops up. So they pretty much own 40 brands, and they keep them under their own brands, but they own it. And so you'll see companies come in and buy branding. That is going to be a fair amount of time out because of the banking issues, because of the federal law. These companies are too big. You know, Philip Morris is not going to risk a multi-billion dollar business in 50 states or in 150 countries. They're not going to risk it just for this. So they're going to have to wait until federal laws make it more attractive to them. And the federal government will fall, but they're not going to go. They're going to go just like the states. They'll go medicinal allowed first, then they'll do recreational through a study of, you know, through the FDA, and then they're going to, it will be a slow roll, but it's never fast. I would predict the United States will be legal within about 10 years is what I believe, fully legal.
Well, I'll tell you this, 10 years ago, I would have never anticipated where we're at today.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I don't believe that the federal legalization of it is a good thing because whenever they legalize something, the first thing they do is regulate and tax it. and I've never seen a government regulation that's actually good. So, yeah. You know, they start with good ideas, but they never finish with a good regulation. So I don't foresee that being a better thing. I think this thing where let the states control their own. They know their people better. They know their land better. Let the states run their own programs.
Makes sense. Well, man, it was great having you on the show today, Bobby. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and thanks for talking. And if anybody needs to get a hold of you, this is your time, baby. How do we get a hold of you?
Oh, you can call me anytime. I'll give you my cell number. It's 949-842-6486. Or you could just reach me at bob@labxoil.com. LabXoil.
Well, thanks for being on today, brother. We appreciate it. And we're going to cut this one short today. Thanks for all our listeners for listening. And if any of you out there are looking to buy, sell, lease,
Tony, is that what it was?
What'd you say?
I bored them. That's why you're cutting.
No. I told you we usually about 30 minutes. We usually about 30 minutes. We got into where we're at. We got where you're at.
Right on.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Take care.
And if anybody out there looking for to help you with any of your real estate needs, investments, or buy, sell, lease, you've got a home, give me a call at 586-773-4400, or you can go to our website, www.talktotony.com, or you can find us at on Facebook at The Raffin Team on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. And Kevin's not here today, but if you guys want to get a hold of Kevin, his number is 586-855-4041. If you have somebody that is looking to get rid of a property, a family property, they don't want to put it on the market, an investment deal where he can come in and buy it, or cash for your home. Oh my God, if I said that one wrong. Or find him on Facebook under Kevin McClellan, and we will be able to see what we can do to help you out to unload your home. Once again, thanks everybody for listening in. Appreciate you, and we'll see you next week when Kevin gets back from vacation. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fix It and Flip It with Tony Raffin and Kevin McClellan. Be sure to stop by our Facebook page, like it, and follow. And come back again next week so you can arm yourselves with the tools and strategies to become a successful real estate entrepreneur. This is Fix It and Flip It.